I don't think I'm giving up too much. Sticky floors, maybe. Assholes sitting next to me fussing with their cell phones, perhaps.
You can still have that at home.
That's true.
Don't discount it.
And you can even have screaming babies.
I'm sure you have that at the movies all the time at your house. Welcome to another edition of Facts Are Meaningless.
I thought this was Wall Street Week.
This is, it would be if this was April 1st. Oh, which it is. We're recording on April 1st. We probably will. There's no way anybody will hear this on April 1st.
No. But the fact that we are recording this on April Fool's Day does not in any way take away from the fact that we are, in fact, a couple of fools.
But only in April. If only that were true. So, what would you like to discuss in our action-packed podcasting today, my friend Joseph?
Well, I would like to get your thoughts on the new New York Times paywall, which went into effect a couple of days ago, where apparently you have to pay like $1 billion to be a subscriber.
Yeah, I don't even know what the actual cost of the paywall is. I mean, I guess if you're already a print subscriber – you get free access.
Right.
Now, I don't understand people who get print newspapers anymore. That is ridiculous to me. It is the most egregious waste of time and paper I've ever seen in my life. No one ever reads the entire paper. If they do, they are missing out on a lot of very good books that they could be reading during that time, number one. Number two, just the sheer amount of stuff that you have to recycle from just a Sunday newspaper is ridiculous, let alone if you got it every day. That's crazy. So I don't grasp that at all. So that
I agree. I agree with you. For the record, I get all my news scrolled on the side of buildings.
I think that makes much more sense to me. I think almost anything, a stone tablet etched by your neighbor's small children in a sweatshop in their basement makes more sense to me.
It's like BC, the comic.
Exactly. You should, they're delivered by somebody on a pedal-less unicycle.
Wearing a tunic.
With a tunic. But so my point being, if I had one at all, is that I don't know how much all that costs. I know it's ridiculous to get the paper version. And then why would you have – You would have to be somebody who doesn't have a computer to give a shit about the access on the internet if you got the paid version, number one. Number two, why does it cost so much? You know, I can understand that. I understand that content should cost something. I really, even though I am a horrible consumer and I will get a free thing before I will, you know, pay for it, like my iPhone, for example, probably has 90 apps. Probably three of them I paid for. You know? I mean, it's just it's amazing, and that is the culture that we've built up, especially among people online. But you and I both work in an industry where it's nice to get paid for what you do. You know, almost everybody does who creates actual content. So I can see the need for the paywall to an extent. However, they also – correct me if I'm wrong. The New York Times site does not have advertising.
It does have advertising.
Well then, charge more for your ads, dumbasses.
See,
maybe that's an idea.
Here's why I think it's going to fail.
But before you do, the point is if they did charge more for their advertising – then they would probably lose advertisers, and they don't have the eyeballs necessarily already in place to entice those advertisers. Therefore, they need to make up the shortfall of money because of that by charging the actual readers, which, I don't know, never worked. Even when we were doing print, you know, when magazines were a big deal, it was a very unique time if somebody made money from the subscriptions. It was always the advertising.
Oh, right. I mean, if the notion that a subscription would pay for the production costs of a newspaper, it never has, right?
No.
So,
if anything, only classifieds. did.
Right, right. Thanks, Craig Newmark.
Yeah, Craigslist has killed that, you know. Blogs have killed a lot of the news, you know, to an extent. I mean, you know, the whole fight about aggregation of news like the Huffington Post, you know, which is nothing but regurgitation of news from other sites. I mean, I can understand the disgust with that, but, you know, all of that is almost utterly beside the point when you factor in the fact that the New York Times paywall is a goddamn joke. They apparently spent $40 million developing this thing that has at least five workarounds that I've read about.
Right. Well, see, I mean, that's the thing. First of all, it's so convoluted. You know, you do get certain things free, a certain amount of like 20 articles or whatever, and it's so convoluted that just there's going to have to be all kinds of ways to get around it, either technically or just practically. You know what I mean? Like, even if there's a yeah, I guess there were Twitter feeds that they tried to shut down and stuff. Yes. Like that, they're not necessarily going to be able to thwart every unauthorized attempt. I mean, not technically. Legally, yeah, maybe, but that's more of a long, drawn-out process.
Yeah.
What I don't get – And it's expensive. I mean, it's I think having the paper subscription is the cheapest way to get it. If you want like full access to the Digital Times, I think it's something like $500 a year.
Whoa.
Which is crazy. I mean, I hope I'm right about that. I thought I remember seeing $465 if you wanted it like on the web, on your phone, you know, and that's – you know, that's a lot of money. And what I don't understand, though, they've been down this road before. They tried to put the columnists, you know, behind a paywall, and that didn't last. And what I just don't get is, see, it can't last because they're doing it alone.
Yeah.
What, you know, I don't understand why – I don't believe for a second that businesses don't have the ability to collude when it's in their interest. I don't understand why they – couldn't get together with the Washington Post, the LA Times, big newspaper publishers, magazines perhaps, and come up with some type of a standardized system, you know, that would be less expensive, less convoluted, and would even allow like micro purchases where you could say, I want to read that article, you know, I'll pay 50 cents or something like that. I just cannot see this thing lasting because they're the only ones that are taking, you know, the risk. And like you said, there's so many ways to get around it. People aren't going to know what the hell what the hell's going on. And even if they figure it out, they're going to decide, you know what? It's not worth paying that kind of money.
I mean, the New York Times owns other newspapers, the New York Times Company. They own at least the Boston Globe that I know of.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a paper in LA and Chicago for all I know. I really don't know the specifics, but you're right. There are ways to do this. I mean, I don't see them working with the New York Post necessarily, but you know, they could certainly make some partnerships. That's why we have a Recording Industry Association of America and a Motion Picture Association of America, in theory. Well, no, I'm sorry. Those exist only to sue people. So,
well, but you know what? Not a bad analogy, because you know, years ago, that record labels got together with iTunes, and now you can pretty much get, you know, not everything, but most of what you'd want to listen to can be purchased either through iTunes or Amazon or something like that. So, you know, that's not a – you don't have to go to, you know, I hope I'm not, you know, talking about defunct record labels now, but you don't have to go to like PolyGram to get this song and that one to get that song. You know, there are places to go, and that's, you know, something like that is should be what they – there should be like a clearinghouse for, you know, forget the Post and bullshit like that, but like real newspapers and real magazines that should get together. Should be some type of clearinghouse. Should come up with a payment scheme, you know, but, you know, not holding my breath.
So it looks like the New York Times, after the introductory period, you would pay $35 every 4 weeks. So right. That is about $35 a month, give
well,
or take.
Well, no, it's actually $35. See, the distinction between 4 weeks and a month
you're
is
right.
Important here.
You're right. So
because you're actually paying an extra $35 because 35 times 12, I mean, that would – wait, 30 – Four
right.
weeks.
35 times. Divided by 4 is 8.75. So that times 52 is $455 a year.
There you go. So that's where I got that figure.
Whee,
can you imagine?
Ridiculous.
That's a lot of money. I mean, that's more than most people pay for Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's coming up on probably what people pay for cable TV.
Yeah.
Just the TV, not internet, and you know. So you're really basically asking people to pay that kind of money for one publication.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like you said, that the reason why I think there's a problem here is because it breaks the paradigm. People that would subscribe to the paper, you know, the actual paper, is that what that would cost them? I mean, does getting Daily Times cost that kind of money?
I don't think so, but you know what? It's been so long since I bought an actual newspaper, I really don't know. I'm going to assume, yeah, give or take, if you did buy it every day, I mean, it might come to that. But
I just don't see people spending that kind of money. They should offer something, you know, $5 a month to read unlimited top articles, or maybe just not drill down into like the nitty gritty stuff. They got it. They have to have, they need to offer something.
Well, they do. And they give, but see, that's their give, is that they let you access 20 articles a month.
Right. But 20 articles a month, I mean, that's one a day, one every business day. That's not going to be enough for anything but an occasional user. And by the way, just for argument's sake, how do they figure that out? How are they going to know
cookies.
That you – huh?
Cookies.
What if you do it on different browsers, different PCs? What if you do it on a PC and a phone?
Then that's one of the workarounds, dude. You could literally go in and delete your New York Times cookie and start all over again. You could do it every day.
That's idiotic. I mean, then if that's the only way they're able to enforce that –
That's what kills me. Go ahead, start your stupid paywall. We'll find ways around it. But you spent $40 million coming up with that? Ooh. We could have told you not to do that anyway. You could have Chrome, Firefox, IE, Safari. That means you got access right there to 80 stories if you really wanted it to work.
They need to come up with a scheme that is not only so laughably easy to circumvent, but that people won't necessarily want to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, now that you can buy a song for 99 cents, or maybe even less in some cases, people are less apt to try to, you know, steal that song, you know, so because it's relatively inexpensive and it's relatively easy to do.
Mm-hmm.
The Times scheme, aside from being, you know, limited to them, is not inexpensive and it's not easy.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a failure.
Oh yeah. It's guaranteed to be a failure and not going to make them the money that they hope it is. But you know what? That might be fine with them. To be honest, maybe $40 million was spent coming up with a way to get every schmuck on the planet talking about this like we are, and then not really care if we get around it. But if they make a little extra scratch on the side, that's fine. Maybe that's all this is. Maybe it is just a publicity stunt that makes a little cash. Because it really, you know, we're talking about the New York Times, even though, I mean, I don't know, how often do you visit the New York Times website?
The website? I follow the RSS feed of one or two blogs, but to be honest with you, most of the time when I read the Times, it's on my iPod.
Okay, but even there, I mean, they'll have the limit there at some point, I would assume.
Yeah, I mean, they have it now.
Oh, do they?
The day that the paywall took effect, they refreshed their app.
Oh, okay.
So
there's another workaround. Don't refresh your app, you know?
Yeah.
Jailbreak your iPhone and keep the old version.
Well, to tell you the truth, I'm glad I did, because the old app, I would probably have to launch it 6 or 8 times before it would run. It would always just start up and then go back to – and this one has actually been rock solid. So I'll give them credit for that.
There's also at least one Grease Monkey JavaScript thing out that automatically kills your New York Times cookie every day.
See what I mean? If you can
– there's a bill – like I said, I've read at least 4, if not 5 things just in one article on how to get around this.
Right.
I don't think the Times probably cares. So
I got to think they do, because it's a lot of effort. Like, aside from the $40 million – cost to implement this silly ass system, you know, they're going through a lot of effort to try to, like, you know, tell, you know, rationalize it and tell people. I saw an ad on TV a couple of days ago. It was like a I mean, it must have been like a minute long, or maybe it just seemed that way. But it was going. It was. This, it was describing, or I should say, contrasting. This is a visitor. This is a subscriber. You know, and like showing all the, as if you know. Oh, I can't be a visitor. I want to be a subscriber. I don't want to have to wear that name tag.
I want to believe you because I want to believe that the old gray lady is not run by frigging idiots. However, all the evidence is to the contrary.
Yeah.
I believe anonymity in general in comments on the internet is the fucking tool of the devil.
It definitely is the tool for much douchebaggery.
It is. That's all it is. It is one almost 100% across the board. You can see where comments on especially YouTube. I mean, the comments on YouTube are so egregiously bad. Even my mother called me up one day out of the blue to essentially like – I don't want to say yell at me like it was my fault, but she was so upset by comments that she read on a video posted about – I don't know if it was one of my nephews or a neighbor kid or something, but you know, somebody got, you know, just like sexually gratuitous stuff posted on the comments about a little kid video and blah, blah, blah. I was like – and all I could think was, Jesus, Mom. Why would you read the comments on a YouTube video? Nobody does that. It's like the dumbest thing you could possibly do. And but she was totally shocked and surprised, and it underscored, you know, something that I've always felt. And this goes for blogs and everywhere else. If people are allowed to not use their name, they'll do it for two reasons. To protect themselves from blowback when they are actually doing something good. That's 0.0001%.
Right.
The other 99.9999% are douche fucks, and they should be stopped. And if that means that you have to sign onto a site using Facebook, where most of the time, I'd say probably 98% of the people on Facebook are actually using their own goddamn name, good. You know, that whole bullshit made up argument. You know, that it like that was started essentially on TechCrunch because people signed on there and they lost some of their commenters. I don't feel bad at all. Fuck that. You know, it lifts the discourse up. Real people having a fucking conversation. They can't hide behind things and just say a bunch of bullshit.
I agree. And when you frame it that way, it's kind of hard to argue against the status quo.
That's why I frame it that way, because anybody who argues with me will get cut.
However,
oh.
However, I have reservations.
Tell me.
And they are twofold.
Your number one reservation is Facebook owns the world.
Absolutely.
Blah, 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 blah.
Makes Dude, Facebook even more insidious than it already is.
The ship has sailed.
Because now Facebook is going to be in every site you visit. So they're going to know
is.
That – Huh?
It already is. We talked about this. There's a like button on the fucking
right,
end
you,
of
yeah,
the
yeah.
There's a like button on my detergent downstairs.
And, but the other reservation is you can probably get past that too.
Yeah.
I mean,
you can, because you can go on Facebook and create a new account that's bullshit made up.
Right.
There's
so much fraudulent on Facebook to begin with. I was just reading how even my nephews, they've got They you know, Facebook thinks they're 18.
Yes.
They're not 18, you know, and there's apparently quite a few good percentage of kids that, you know, pretend they're 18 when they're not, pretend they're 13 when they're not, because I guess 13 is like the bare minimum.
I read that Facebook actually rejects somewhere between 20 and 40,000 new signups a day because
really?
They're underage.
For underage, or because it's like bots or something trying to do it?
Could be bots, but I mean, I assumed it was legit, you know. But I mean, the rejection, I believe, is because of the age. You know, people try to list the age, and then if it's under 13, then they get automatically told, sorry, come back in a few years.
Right.
Which is good. But, you know.
But you know what?
This is not, you're right. It's not a panacea. People will start to use Facebook in a way that equals douchebaggery, but for the most part, you know, the discourse on Facebook, even though I'm not going to say it's the greatest, in the world, like, you're not necessarily having any better conversations there than
Facebook is just inane. I mean, it's not as filthy and disgusting as a comment.
It's inane, but at least most of it is not anonymous. You know?
True.
You know that if that boring-ass person is boring, you can block them, you know? But what if that boring-ass person was blocked and you didn't know who they were exactly? And then they kept coming back because they could just create new accounts. I mean, that doesn't usually work with Facebook because you have to agree to be a friend with somebody, et cetera, et cetera. That doesn't necessarily, you know, gel with what they're going to do with the comment system on another site like TechCrunch or whoever, you know, because people can sign up and be anonymous dolts.
Right.
But most people don't use Facebook that way. So I still think it's a huge step in the right direction to an extent. I mean, the only other option is have a policy on comments, which I think a lot of websites should, that if you don't use your real name or at least something that approximates looking like your real goddamn name, you get deleted or never get approved. You shouldn't be able to say anything. Have the balls to back up what you say, you miserable fucks.
But
look at me. My name is all over this website. I swear and I say nasty things about people all the time. I stand behind my bullshit here.
Wait, I thought you were Augustus Q. Intercourse.
God damn it, don't give my real name! So I just get so frustrated knowing that I have spent 18 fucking years writing articles and having to put my name on them. It's one thing when you're writing, like, people who put a pseudonym on a book, that's usually a sales thing. That's like, you know, trying to reach an audience that you know generally wouldn't reach you. But, you know, you do the –
Yeah, oh, Henry.
Well, yeah. I mean, but you do
J.K. Rowling.
You do the research on a person deep enough, you're going to find out the real person's name. You know, it's not usually that hard unless it's like that Joker who was trying to write the books as if he was like, you know, the character in the book. You know, that kind of crap. But even then, that's like all James Fry. So,
you mean, Million Little Pieces guy?
Yeah, he's the one behind that ridiculous I Am Number 4, which was just turned into a movie.
Oh, really?
And I Am Number 4, the book came out, and it was written by Pittacus Lore. And then you start reading the book, which I have not, but the book features a character named Pittacus Lore. It's him telling his own story. And the reason they don't use the real author's name is because James Fry pays these authors like $500 to turn in a full manuscript, which he then turned into this big deal enough to get made into a movie.
Is it also because the name James Fry is tainted?
Yeah, and he's not
and he probably doesn't want to, you know, it's like that's like Windows Vista.
Yeah.
You know?
If James Fry writes fiction, he's going to put it out there as a memoir. So, right. You know, we just so, you know, I have a lot of problems with pseudonyms to a large extent, but especially when it comes to the comments. I mean, yeah. just the YouTube stuff alone, utterly horrifying.
Yeah, I agree. But you know what? Also, just to be like a complete devil's advocate here, why do we even need to comment? Because anonymous or not, most comments are utterly worthless.
Yeah, that's so very, very true. People don't. A lot of people don't grasp it. It's like that social cues kind of thing where people don't get that just because you're saying something doesn't mean you're actually saying something worthwhile. I mean, right. The amount of times I see people like comment, like there'll be a book review or something, you know, and the reviewer will be, you know, say it's great. And then I'll read the comments and somebody will say, well, this doesn't really look like the book for me. Who fucking cares?
Yeah.
Why do I give a shit? You know? If you're going to say something about the book or add something to the conversation. Like, to tell me, oh, well, I just read this. I'm not really interested. I don't give a shit that you're not interested. Make room for somebody who is interested and either disagrees or agrees, but at least has something worthwhile to say.
Yeah.
Comments are dumb. I agree.
Yeah.
Unless they're funny. Or dirty.
Funny is always the best.
Yes. But they can't be dirty about small children. That's fucking disgusting.
No.
I wish those people would go to jail. But you can't. I mean, these people get away with saying things anonymously in comments that would get you put in prison if you said it in real life. All right. Well, this has been an excellent non-April Fool's Day episode.
I agree.
So I guess we'll call it good. My name is Eric.
My name is Joe.
And we, together, are the singing duo Facts Are Meaningless. No, not at all. However, we
watch for our viral video soon to appear on YouTube.
All right, sing it with me, Joe. Friday, Friday,
Friday, Friday, Friday, Friday. God, I fucking hate Fridays now.
I don't know what the lyrics even are.
That's pretty much – well, think of the most inane lyrics you can conceive of with your brain.
Oh, I like that.
And then make them, like, even worse.
She had a lyric about not being able to find a seat in the car.
And sing it in a droning monotone. Go watch the video, dude. And 66 and million people have done it.
Somebody did comment. Here's a good comment that I read. I think it was on Twitter, where somebody said, if she couldn't find a seat in that car, how bad must it be for her when she gets on the bus? And with that, we shall bid you adieu. Till next time, have a great one.
Ta-ta.
Do you know that there's a fake Joe Moran on Twitter?
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me.
It's actually me, and all I do is write about how much I like Facebook.